Vegas Golden Podcast, brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. As you can tell, that's not Case Kiefer's voice. He is still on vacation. I am Justin Emerson, though, as always. And once again, we have Ray Brewer filling in, the head honcho over here at the Las Vegas Sun. We are coming to you after the Golden Knights dropped a tough one in Minnesota last night. It was 4-0, one of their, quite frankly, one of their worst losses of the season, and they will embark on a 5-game homestand. Do you embark on a homestand? Whatever, it doesn't matter. They're starting a 5-game homestand tomorrow night against the Las Vegas Blues. Ray, what do you think of this team? Where are they at?
Well, here's the deal. The homestand that's coming up is massively important. It will define the season. If you win all 5 games, all systems a go, playoff bound, here we come. If you go 2-3, you might be in some trouble. Now, knowing that I was going to be your guest on this podcast, I've watched more Golden Knights than usual.
Attaboy.
And I find it odd that you call last night, what did you label last night's loss?
Just right now?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's fair to say that a 4-0 loss on the road to Minnesota is one of their worst losses. It was only one of 3 shutout losses they've had. They gave up 3 power play goals. It was, I don't think it's unfair to say it was one of their worst of the season.
Was it worse than the one they lost before that?
The fact that that's a question you got to ask kind of might speak to the state of the team right now. He's, of course, referring to the 6-5 shootout loss to the Carolina Hurricanes on Saturday. They had a lead in the third period, lost it, gave up 4 goals in the third, and then lost in the shootout. It's... You know, we were right before they were coming off of this road trip. They'd gone 3-1 on a trip through the southeastern part of the country. They'd beat up on Florida. They beat Carolina. They beat Nashville. It looked like things were finally looking up. And I feel like we've said that a couple of times this year, that it's like, okay, they've finally turned the corner. They're ready to go. And then they came out, played really well for 2 periods against Carolina, but their last 4 periods have been subpar, to say the least.
Yeah. Do you think this is a team that... So we know the team is talented, and I say that because despite the peaks and valleys, the sports books, who know everything, have had them consistently as one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup.
I want to interrupt just real quick. How much of that do you think is local money coming in? Like the fact that if it wasn't a Las Vegas team, do you think they'd still have those same odds, or would the odds be a little worse?
I mean, obviously they'd be a little worse, but if you would look at other markets, they're still a top 6 team to win the cup no matter where you're at.
Sure. They're the top expected goals team in the league. Money Puck is an analytics site, has them as the top team to win. There's definitely a case that the fourth place team in the worst division in the league right now is one of the Stanley Cup favorites. That's the world we live in.
So I'm long gone from being an athlete, but do you think that they think that they might just be able to turn it on when it counts?
It's certainly possible. And I mean, you kind of get the feeling talking around them that, I mean, they're not going to give up on the season or anything like that. I mean, they're in a playoff spot right now. If the playoffs started today, they're in.
And they'd be projected to win the series.
Right now they would face Vancouver in the first round. And Vancouver is a team that's only 3 points better than they are right now. Vancouver isn't that much better, and Golden Knights have historically owned Vancouver. So if the Golden Knights played the Canucks in the first round, I think they might be the betting favorites, even as a road team. And then you're looking at either Edmonton or Calgary, another beatable team, and suddenly you're in the Western Conference final. So that's why they're still considered one of the favorites, is their path to the cup is not as difficult as a lot of other teams in the league.
So one of the games I watched was the Florida game.
That's a good one to watch. They did pretty well in that one.
And Mark Stone was like the greatest player in America, in the NHL, right?
Yeah.
So if that guy's on your team, that's like having like, in comparison to another sport, you're going in a playoff match and you have like a LeBron or a Steph Curry, or you have a Max Scherzer on the hill for game one, you've got a distinct advantage.
He's the points leader on the team. He was unbelievable in the playoffs last year. He has turned it on. And you look at last year, their top line was – phenomenal in the playoffs. So this is a team that I do think that if they get into the playoffs can turn it on. Problem is, we're 58 games into the season and they haven't quite done that yet.
Yeah, and another problem is the way they're losing. Prior to Gallant getting fired, they were just playing these awful first periods. Against Carolina, they gave up 4 goals in whatever amount of minutes
in the third period. Yeah,
in the third period. Against Minnesota, they were dead upon arrival.
Yep.
So it's not like the Tampa loss was a good loss, right?
Yeah, Tampa's they played really well in that game.
And Tampa's a good team.
Yes.
But, you know, then you see them losing against Minnesota and you're like, well, what's going on? And, you know, what's going to change? And, of course, that's why they probably changed coaches to get that to get that spark. And it looked good on the road trip after the All-Star break, 3-1. You're like, okay, this is great. The players have recharged. They've got a new mindset in attacking the game. And they're in a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like I said, come out with two tough ones. So that brings us back to the homestand. On this homestand, they're going to play five teams above them in the standings. You're looking at the Blues, Islanders, Capitals, Lightning, and Panthers. So, and kind of like you said, you win all five of these, which is obviously the best case scenario, and everything's great, and we're talking about the Golden Knights as the best hockey team ever assembled.
It's a 10-point swing.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and it probably puts them, you know, into first place in the Pacific if they can win all of those. That's almost certainly not going to happen, just based off of, well, they haven't won five in a row all season, and these are five really good teams. So, kind of what is the, I guess, maybe the minimum benchmark for success in this homestand? If you get 5 points out of this homestand, if you go 2-2-1, is that good enough? Do you need to win three of the games? Do you need to win four of the games?
So 2-2-1 gets you 5 points.
Right. So that'd be half of the, so 10 points are on the board in five games. You could, if you got five of them, if you basically went the hockey equivalent of 500 in the series, would that be good enough?
I mean, look at it from a betting angle. You're going to be a favorite in all five games.
Probably. Tampa would be the one that maybe, but probably. I mean, they haven't been an underdog at home, I would think, not since that first season.
Okay,
I'd have to check that. Case is the betting guy, and he's in vacation somewhere in Florida.
So they're expected to win all five of these games.
Yeah, that is one way of looking at it.
So for me, knowing that it's crunch time, knowing that they've got to rally together, knowing that they probably got a stern lecture after what happened against the Wild, I would say if they don't get at least 7 points out of these five games, then, I mean, you're talking about trying to salvage your season and solidify a path forward to get to the playoffs. And this is the time to do it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, it's
now or never. I don't care who they're playing. It's five games in succession at home. Right? You've got arguably the best home ice advantage in the league. You've got teams coming from the Eastern time zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've just beat up on Florida. You played great against Tampa. I mean, this is where it really needs to shine. You've got to figure it out. You've got to get your goalie back on track. You've got to figure out what you're doing with the lines. Is Carlson staying on the third line? This is now. I mean, you figure out what works and get seven of these points, right?
Yeah, and that might be the case. I mean, you're looking at it, and you've got 24 games left in this season. You only have so much time left to kind of solidify yourself as a team to be feared in the playoffs. And quite honestly, if you make the playoffs at all, that's not – I mean, you lose four out of these games, and you're probably going to find yourself out of a playoff spot altogether. So, you know, I've got a story coming out in the Sun tomorrow morning about that very thing. I mean, it's go time. It's crunch time, as Braden McNabb said. This is kind of where we're going to find out just how good the Golden Knights are, because all season they've been, you know, the analytics say that they should be an elite team, that you look at the projections and they're doing this and this. But, you know, we have a big enough sample size to say that that's not what they are. And we're going to find out if they're able to turn it back on in the last, you know, quarter of the season.
So the one thing that I've always appreciated about hockey, and before we got the Knights, I didn't really follow it. But, of course, like in the playoffs, I had an interest. And what I was always fascinated with is when the playoffs came, the seeding really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, we constantly see lower seeded teams pulling off upsets.
Right, an 8-1 upset in hockey isn't the upset that it is in basketball.
Yeah,
for sure. The parity in the league, it's a lot closer.
And I think you look at the roster, right? You've got a great home ice advantage. You've got Stone coming off an awesome playoff, right?
Yep, Pacioretty too.
Pacioretty. You've got a Hall of Fame goalie. You've got guys like Carlson, solid guys who've played well in the fold. And the sky's the limit, right? You're a 100-point team. you project to be more than a 100-point team. And I think what you don't take into account is just hockey, there's parity and there's peaks and valleys unlike the other sports. And we've seen the Golden Knights this year firmly get stuck in a peak and valley thing. The home ice isn't what it used to be. I think teams are a little more prepared when they come into town than they were maybe in year one. And I think that we've had such high opinions of the Knights that, you know, when they're just average, it's like, what's going on? I mean, for any other team in the league, for 80% of the teams in the league, you know, being currently in the playoffs with five games in a row at home and a chance to potentially be in the lead of the division, that's a lot of action coming into the spring. Sign me up for that. That's where you want to be.
Yep.
This is where any team in the league wants to be right now. Currently in the playoffs, great chance to enhance your seeding. Let's go. But here it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
They're only in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, we were spoiled by that first season for sure. And then we saw what they did once Mark Stone was acquired last year, and it felt like, okay, this was the missing piece. This is what we needed. They went on a tear at the end of last season. They looked really good. They went up 3-1 against the Sharks in the playoffs, and then, well, we all know what happened after that. But right now, here we are, 58 games into the season, and the Golden Knights have lost 30 of those games. They've lost. They're 28-22-8, which, you know, it looks good, but you take off the rose-colored glasses that we look at NHL standings through, and, you know, they've lost two more games than they've won. And how they're able to turn that around, and, you know, it benefits them for sure that they play in the Pacific Division, just like we talked about, because they get to play the Canucks or the Oilers or the Flames or the Coyotes in the first round. It's a huge benefit, but after that, you know, are they good enough to, you know, beat the Blues in a 7-game series? Right now, probably not. But if, you know, if they're able to come out firing in these 5 games in this homestand, you know, we might be looking at the Golden Knights very differently. And, you know, there was that overtime win in Nashville where, you know, they scored with 3 seconds left or whatever it was, 0.3 seconds left. And it's like, okay, this could be when they take off. And then there was that game against the Blues earlier, you know, just last month, where they went down 3-0 and came back to win in overtime. It's like, okay, this is where we take off. And then they lost their next 4 games and fired their coach. So you're right. Peaks and valleys has been this entire season for the Golden Knights. And, you know, if they can start peaking at the end of the season and into April and May and June, you know, then nobody's going to remember how much they were struggling in December and January. But we will... We'll see where they're at, I guess. We will see where they are at, I suppose.
Are you worried about Fleury?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Why?
Because he was good for the first 10 games of the season. He was kind of holding them together. He was unbelievable. But we're looking at now 3 months where statistically he's been a below-average goalie. His save percentage is under 900 since the middle of October. And, you know, you could call it a slump if you want to, but he's statistically on pace for his worst season as a Golden Knight by far and in the last couple of years. So you don't know if maybe this is just a write-off of a season, you know, where they tried the defensive things and it didn't really work out, a bunch of changes and a new coach comes in, or, you know, we're looking at a 35-year-old who can only play an elite level for so long. And I think that question more than any other might define what happens. Is Fleury just slumping, or is he in the decline of his career?
So when I covered them at the beginning of January against Pittsburgh, it's like January 7th, give or take, Fleury let in like 4 goals on 15 shots. Probably not. That might not be statistically correct, but it was less than 20 shots, and I think he let in 4 goals.
It was 4 goals on 16 shots.
Okay.
So very close.
And that, I think, was chalked up to there aren't many nights like this where he just gets beat or maybe his reaction time isn't what we're accustomed to. And I think with Marc-Andre, so 3 years ago, he went from being, you know, the guy in Pittsburgh to the backup, and he looked like, okay, here's a 31, 32-year-old who is slowing down, right? The rubber's coming off the tire. Then he turns it around here and he's brilliant. All-star, the whole nine yards. And now you're like, well, how do we know when this guy is towards the end? You know, because he's proven you wrong before. And that's just, you know, Listen, I'm far from a hockey expert. I'm far from a goalie expert. Eventually, we see all great athletes, regardless of sport, you know, take a step back.
Yep.
Is this it for him? Or are we just overreacting because he had one bad period against Carolina?
Well, so if the first – I'm trying to get it up. So the first 10 games of the season, he had a .937 save percentage. He won seven of the games. He looked like he was just going to be all-star all year. Since then, and we're not looking at – you know, a small sample size. We're looking at, you know, his last 30 games, his last 31 games, he's got an .892 save percentage. That would lose you his starting job in a heartbeat if you did that over the course of a season. And for the season, he's now at .904, which would be the worst of his career dating back to 2006. So when he was a 21-year-old in Pittsburgh, he had an .898 save percentage, and in a full season, he has never had a worse save percentage than he has this year.
So why isn't Subban getting more chances?
Because Malcolm Subban hasn't been that much better. I do think that we're probably going to see Subban a little bit more often. I think we're gonna have to, because the thing about a 35-year-old goalie, and Subban's at .898 for the season, by the way, and he's kind of in the same boat. But the thing about a 35-year-old goalie is they can't play every night. And, you know, Fleury's played 41 games out of the Golden Knights' 58. That included a stretch where Subban was playing a lot because Fleury was away from the team. But basically, since DeBoer's taken over, Fleury started every game that he could. He had to sit out the one game for the All-Star. But, you know, Bayer hasn't been dialing back on Fleury's workload. And maybe that has something to do with it. And he's just, you know, breaking down. It's older muscles, older bones, but...
And they're also to the point of the season where you got to put your best out. And
yeah, they
for as bad as he's been, he's still the best.
That's it. He's still doing better than Malcolm Subban, and you can't really afford to lose any games. You can't really afford to sit him that much, but what's going to happen is, let's say he plays between now and the end of March, and then you need him for the playoffs. It's not like you're going to start your backup goalie in a playoff game, so... I am worried about the goaltending, and that could be something that derails their hopes.
And then when you talk about the five games in a row at home, if, you know, you're gassed, your best guy's gassed, obviously that's not optimum. But
not quite what you want.
So let's get to our picks. Tell me who won last week.
So you had Riley Smith. I had Max Pacioretty. In our time, Riley Smith had, let's take a look at it. Looks like he had 5 points, one goal, not too bad. Max Pacioretty had 5 points and 3 goals. So pretty close, but a slight edge to me, I would say. So
I would agree. I would agree, unfortunately.
So that's, you were doing, it wasn't a bad pick filling in for Case, but it's going to be your pick again. We're going to just do this 5-game homestand. So we've got 5 games to look at. You've got anybody on the board except for Riley Smith and Mark Stone.
And why can't I take Stone?
Because Case took him in the first one of these before.
What an easy pick. I don't know why he, you know what I'm saying?
Why use that early in the year?
Yeah.
Well, because we reset it at the Christmas break, and he had saved Stone until the end, and it didn't work for him. So I think he was trying to do what he could out of it.
Okay, I'm going to go with Jonathan Marchessault.
I like it. Okay. Right.
Was that who you were going to take?
I was thinking about him.
You can't take him now because I beat you to it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it wouldn't be any fun to take the same guy. It would literally be a tie. So I'm going to go with, I don't want to go with somebody on the same line, so I don't want to use Smith or Stastny or possibly Carlson. I've already used Carlson, so never mind. I don't want to pick Smith or Stastny because if Marchessault is scoring, then he's probably getting assisted by his line mates. So I'll go with a different line, and you know what? I'm going to go with a defenseman this time. I really like the way Shea Theodore has been playing. I'm going to go with Shea Theodore for my Shining Knight competition this week. So it's going to be Jonathan Marchessault against Shea Theodore. 5 games that, like you said, and I agree with, could define the season. So there it is. There we go. That's our Vegas Golden Podcast.
Shout out to our cool sponsors. I appreciate
it. Yep. The Credit One. Let me get the read up. yes. So. Yep. So that's our podcast. Thank you, Ray, for filling in for Case. And that was the Vegas Golden Podcast presented by the Credit One Vegas Born Card, the perfect card for all passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. For Ray, I'm Justin. Next time you hear us, it'll probably be back with Case Kiefer. Thanks so much.